On the surface, the gospel reading we just heard sounds pretty cut and dried. What God has joined together, let no one separate. And it goes on to equate remarriage with adultery. Those words sound very harsh and damning to our ears, especially if one happens to be a divorced person. When interpreted literally, these words have caused a lot of angst, grief, hard feelings, and misunderstanding. Jesus said what he said, but his words, when placed in cultural context, are saying something very different from how they have traditionally been interpreted. The question put to Jesus was another attempt to get Jesus to trap himself by going against the law as stated in Torah. Note that Jesus is asked about divorce, not marriage, so it has to be taken for granted that divorce was a reality in Jesus' time, not just in our current world. Jesus is asked if it's lawful for a man to divorce his wife. When Jesus asks what Moses commanded, he's referring back to the book of Deuteronomy, the book of laws, where in chapter 24, the law states this: when a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house, and if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the latter man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter man dies who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. And you shall not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. Wow. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But when all those words get sorted out, what this really describes is the rules for a remarriage in a patriarchal society where a woman was considered property and could be set aside or divorced if the man didn't like his dinner or his toast was burned. Most often, the woman so divorced was turned out with no property, no means of support, and ended up living in extreme poverty, or was forced to turn to prostitution in order to eat. In ancient times and in Jesus' time, the concept of adultery was also a matter of infringing on a man's property rights and lines of heritage. So these laws need to be put in context of the times as well as in context of the question. Everyone appeared to believe that divorce was legal. What was not clear was under what circumstances divorce could occur. When Jesus answers his questioners, he did what Jesus did so well. He reframed the question from the law to relationship. What was God's word on the subject? What is God's desire for God's kingdom? So Jesus begins to talk about marriage rather than divorce. Looking to the book of Genesis, Jesus talks about God's desire for happy, supportive, and mutually beneficial relationships. Jesus' words also give place and power to the oppressed, in this case, women. Jewish law did not allow women to initiate divorce, but Roman law, however, did. So Jesus' statement makes it clear that the woman can divorce her husband, thereby leveling that playing field. Jesus is giving women exactly the same rights as men, and in doing so, he is upholding those seen as being at the bottom of society, the oppressed, the vulnerable, and saying that they matter too. They are more than property. These are the statements that turned the society of Jesus' time on its ear. Jesus is demonstrating the good news of the gospel, the news that will change lives. Jesus demonstrates compassion for the downtrodden, and therefore, we have the gospel's sudden turn to the children. Many believe that Jesus calling for the children not to be excluded is telling us a heartwarming tale about Jesus' love for these innocent little ones because, well, aren't kids cute and wonderful? How could we do anything that would keep the cute, cuddly children from Jesus' arms? Well, the truth of the matter is that children were as much property as women were. They were seen as inconveniences, a drain on resources. And Jesus stands up for the children, telling us that the kingdom of God is open to those who, like the children, are seen as the least, are seen as the most vulnerable. Jesus blessed the children and welcomed them, just as he welcomes us. In spite of our brokenness, and our sometimes hardness of heart. The world is turned upside down again. We need to see that alongside being held accountable for God's laws, we are called to be in relationship with God and in relationship with one another. We're called to support one another and love one another. This has never been more true than it is in today's society. We have to look no further than our own backyard to see that our world needs to be turned upside down again, and we are the ones that need to do the turning. The vulnerable and the oppressed are still with us, and they need our love and they need our support. The numbers of homeless continue to grow. Racism and classism has not been overcome. And in fact, we used to think that it had only gone underground instead of being taken care of and fixed. But today, some people with public platforms try to say how far we've come, but they continue to espouse the classism and the racism. There's an obvious lack of respect for human life as violence and deprivation seem to have permeated our society. So with all of these issues, what is the answer? How I wish that there was a fast and easy fix, and I know that you all wish that as well. Perhaps the best we can do is to recognize Jesus' message to us. The answer is not the literal interpretation of Jesus' words, those words which have been used to make people feel less than or defeated. God wants to be in relationship with us and realizes that in spite of our desires and efforts, we are very human and sometimes fall very short. But we can strive to love our neighbor, to find ways to make a difference in Jesus' name in this world. Wherever you stand on the issues that we face today as a society, and there are many, something has to change. We need to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our time. We need to be the bearers of hope in this crazy world of ours. And as we look to the future here at St. Paul's, we are being called to participate in discerning what God is calling us to do and to be. It is just possible that we are called to be the very hands and feet of Christ in this world, being beacons of God's hope and love. And our task of discernment will lead us to discover the ways in which God is challenging us to use our hands and our feet and our resources for Christ. Whatever the future brings, we are called to develop relationships filled with peace and love, to be messengers of justice as God, not humans, define justice. We can pray for the violence, hatred, lack of love, and broken relationships across this earth to cease. And as stated in the words often attributed to Saint Francis, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let it begin with us as individuals and with us as the community of the children of God. We can't fix it all, but we can make a difference as individuals and as the body of Christ in this sacred place and in the community that surrounds this sacred place. Commit to participate in the discernment process so that the way is found to make that difference. Let's commit as the body of Christ to being beacons of hope, love, and justice. I ask you to bring your time, your talent, and your treasure. Bring your energy and your enthusiasm to the mission of God in and through this place, to bring the love of God so alive that there can be no question of who and whose we are, and that we are living out God's mission every minute of every day, that we are living proof of the justice, love and hope, forgiveness and mercy of our God. Amen.